14, verse 23, if you would. We're going to try to get to 3 points, if that's possible. 3 points. Transition, focus, and the most dangerous place to be. Transition, focus, and the most dangerous place to be will be the 3 points. Matthew 14:23. Let's get into the Word. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain and apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I want you to know there's a transition period. We're going from 2017 to 2018. Sometimes we go from blessing to curse, blessing to trouble, blessing to storm, storm to blessing. I think the way the church always says it, you're either coming out of a storm or you're going into a storm. You're coming out of a valley or you're going into a valley. So we tell each other, hey, worship on the mountaintops, right? Because you're going to go into a valley sometime or another soon. Some of y'all are in a valley right now. Some of y'all are coming out of one. Some of y'all might have been out for a while. Praise God. But guess what? We have a God who's an intercessor. We have Jesus who's an intercessor. He has a transition here. This is one of my favorite places to preach from, because there's a transition where Jesus sends the multitude away. Everybody happy. Everybody blessed. Everybody filled. Yet the ones that he's training, he's going to send them into a storm. Let's go back. I got time to break this down. You're always learning. If you're not, you're going to have a rough Christian life. You're always learning through the good or the bad. Amen? You're always learning. See, the disciples were learning when they were handing out the loaves and fish. They were learning that, hey, even when God's blessing and everything's going, we can do our part. Amen? God can take something that's very small, bless it, and send it through us, amen, and bless a lot of people. See, the fishes and loaves story is in every one of the Gospels because it has more characterization of Jesus at the cross than just about any story in the Bible. Because when he broke that bread and he broke that food, guess what? It multiplied to everybody who wanted some, amen? And guess how he got it to them? Through his apostles and disciples. He handed it to them and said, hand it to them. The same ones just a few minutes more, right before that, would say, Lord, what are we going to do? Send them away because we ain't got nothing to feed them. God, y'all better help me tonight. Sometimes God can take somebody who gets it wrong 1 minute and can get it right the next minute and be a blessing anyway. Y'all better start saying amen, because that's pretty good stuff. Have you ever felt like you're a failure according to God or in front of God, and then all of a sudden he still uses you despite of who you are? Goodness. I mean, 1 minute they're like, what are we going to do? Send them into town? Send them away? We need to get rid of them. Yeah, but hey, there's a kid here. Andrew said, there's a kid here who's got five fishes and two loaves. What are they among so many? Have everybody sit down. Now, since I broke it and since I blessed it, you pass it out. And then they're walking out of there 12 baskets full. Say 12 baskets full. Have you ever had your 12 baskets full and still forget you're blessed? Sometimes we can have 12 baskets full. We can be blown away. God can be doing stuff in our lives and walk right away from that and forget how good God is. And forget, I mean, every one of these dudes had baskets of fish and bread, got on a boat, and was wondering, why in the world are we in a storm? Where is God? I wonder if they can still smell the fish and the loaves. Have you never? I guess we're all spiritual tonight. Praise God. I guess we're all good tonight. I'm just telling you. Look, he said, everybody, you're all fat and happy. Have you ever seen somebody walk away blessed and it seems like you wasn't going to a blessing, you was going to a testing? Everybody else is going to a blessing. Everybody else is on the train to Blessingville and you're looking like, wait a minute, it looks like another test is coming. Don't be afraid of the test, because if God's testing you, he's going to use you. He's going to use you in a big way. Amen. So he throws him in a boat and he sends him into a storm. And guess what? He's making intercession. He's praying for them. I want you to remind yourself of this always. God has not forgot about you. If you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're doing it the way God wants you to do it, He hasn't forgot about you. He's still making intercession for you. He's still on the right hand of the Father. He's still sitting there going, they're mine, they're mine, they're mine. Don't worry. He's got a plan. Even when it looks like you're going to die. Because that's what it looked like they were going to do. Would God send us out? Have you ever been in a place in your life as a Christian where you thought God forgot about you and you were going to die? Where are you, God? How did I get out here? I thought I was going to be the rock, the cornerstone. I was the one you loved. I'm the one. I know I doubt a lot, but I still go. Golly, y'all can't. I'd preach that somewhere right now. I'd flip a lid off somebody. I love Thomas. I love him so much because that joker would speak his mind. He would. Remember when Lazarus died? And we shouldn't go up there. And then all of a sudden he goes, well, we're going to go up there. We're going to go up there and die too. Right? We're going to go ahead and go up there and die too. But guess what he did? He walked himself up there. Praise God, I don't care if you're the most spiritual big giant you are. If you're still going for God, that's pretty cool. He might have been back there in the back kicking some rocks. I don't even think we should go up here. It's about a waste of time. I don't really think it's going to work out. Is there any of y'all in here that do that? Just kicking along, but you're still going. Y'all don't believe me. I'll keep preaching on him. I don't care. I ain't got nowhere to go till 12 o'clock tonight. So guess what? Hey, he's sitting there after the resurrection. Everybody's told him that Jesus is risen. And what he say? I ain't going to believe it till I put my hands in the wounds. But he was still with the disciples. He ran off and got him another job. He went off and met a woman and got a little settled down. He did, you know what he did? He said, well, I'll still hang out with you and everything, but I still got to touch him. And ain't that the beautiful scene in the Bible? Y'all don't like that, but it is. It's one of the most beautiful scenes in the whole Bible. Jesus shows up, and there he is, and he said, go ahead and touch him. Touch it, touch it. Put your hand in the wound. No, he said, touch it. Because everybody else after you ain't going to get to touch it. But you're going to touch it. God, wouldn't you like to see Thomas's face when he was, I bet he got a meltdown like there ain't nobody's business. I bet when he was touching that, I bet there was tears flowing off his face. I bet he was sitting there singing, my God, I'm touching God, and this is amazing. Everybody looks at it a different way. They think that Thomas failed. Thomas didn't fail. He got to touch God. He got to get on the inside of God. Sometimes you think, well, that's a failure. Some people look at you and they think some of the stuff you're doing is failure, but God's doing bigger things in your life through your failures than through your successes. Preach, preacher! I'll amen myself. I don't care. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. All the way at the end of it. God, why didn't you show up in the beginning or in the middle? I guarantee you, I know why he shows up at the end for me, because that's when I finally say, God, you do it all. I got no more strength. You might want to write that one down. I got no more strength. I've run out of that. God, I've got no more wisdom. I've run out of that. I think I didn't ever start with any. How about this? I got no more bright ideas, God. And I don't see no way out other than you helping. Some of y'all think you're strong. Praise God, the strongest you've ever been is when you fall on your face before God. That's the strongest you've ever been. If you think you got any power outside of God, you got no power. And he just bends. I can see it right now as they're bailing. Man, this country's been trying to bail itself out for 20 years, and they're just bailing and bailing and bailing, and finally they're like, we got nothing. About time. About time. About every time God shows up in a miraculous way, it's when man and people have run totally out of themselves. That way we can't take any credit. And Jesus just comes walking in on the storm. Don't you love that? I'm not even going to preach about that part. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Ever. What? In a storm, when you're scared, when you think it's all failing, God comes along, "Be of good cheer. Be happy, it's me. I'd have been happy if you'd have showed up earlier." No, you wouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have. God, I wish I had some real people in here right now. Has God ever showed up when you thought he showed up late and you was glad when he showed up? Even more glad. Because then you're like, "Oh, thank God." Because I've run out of wit, ability, strength, power, good ideas, bad ideas. Thank God the Master's here. Thank God he's here. You just go to praising him. And people say, "Well, you just think, why are you praising him? You're a complete failure." I know. And he showed up anyway. And he showed up anyway. Praise God. I'm glad when he shows up. Not because of who I am, because of who he is. Whew. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This is not a great act of faith. This is not some trick. It's not something he done. It's total, total obedience. Woo! When I felt somebody in their spirit. When I said this is not a total act of faith, I could feel a little bit of because everyone, "That is faith." Well, it is kind of faith, but you can't do anything without being obedient to God. So he asked him first, "If it be you, can I come out there on the water?" Come. And as soon as he said come, he said, I can go if I'm obedient. Amen? Listen, obedience will be the greatest gift you have in the spiritual walk with Christ. Amen? Availability. Be available to him. He will wield you in a powerful way. So he gets out of the boat. Now, here's where my other point is, okay? Focus. We talked about transition. Transition is worshiping and focusing on God and knowing that you're in God's control and power when you're being blessed and when you're going through trouble and when you're going through blessing again. Now look, right after this test is over, they're going to come into some smooth waters and they're going to come into town and there's going to be some heroic stuff going on. So there's going to be times, seasons in your life all the way through this. Some of you are like, "I can't wait for 2018 to get here. Woo! I don't know yet. I don't know. I kind of did that in 2016. Now I'm kind of gun-shy, so I'm kind of like, whatever happens, Lord, I'm with you." Amen? I said that this morning. It's all right to say it twice, right? Y'all look at me like I'm crazy when I say something twice. And Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord, if thou be, come unto me in the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" I want to talk about focus. Whatever you focus on, it will be magnified. Whatever you focus on in 2018 will be magnified. If you focus on Jesus, you're going to walk on the things that were supposed to kill you. You're going to go where you didn't think you could go, but God said you could go. You're going to do the things that God wants you to do, but if you take your focus off of him. See, while Peter was focusing on Jesus, he was big. He was in control. He had no fear. He had no anxiety about where he was. God, help me preach. He had no anxiety about where he was. Golly, y'all didn't know. Where was he, Kevin? He was standing on H2O and it wasn't frozen. Amen? He was standing on his biggest fear just a few hours. He thought he was going to be underneath that, dying. But now he's standing on the thing that he thought was going to kill him. And he was standing on something that he you're just not able to stand on. But while he was focusing on Christ, he was standing on it because all the stuff didn't matter because he had magnified what he was focusing on, which was Jesus. Some of y'all are magnifying the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong thing. And it gets... Amen. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I might just have to write that note down and give it to me, and I'm going to have to repeat that through 2018. Because whatever you're focusing, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, all you're going to talk about, all you're going to think about, is what you're focusing on. I'll bet you daylights of donuts. When he slung that first leg out over that thing, out of that boat, and he felt like, yeah, wait a minute, I got, you know what I mean. It's like getting out of bed, you know, you get your foot in the, I got a good illustration for you. I kind of had knee surgery. I said, you know what, a couple times this week I put over and I was like, you know, I wonder if this thing's going to carry me. But I was like, oh, it's going to. I can't sue it for no support. It's there. Never mind, y'all get that later. He put it out there. Next thing you know, he put his other leg out there, and I bet he said, "Oh, praise God! Oh, Jesus! Praise God! Hallelujah! God, you're good, man. I'm doing it, boy. Check this out, right? Y'all, come on, y'all act so spiritual. You know you'd be. I'd be like, huh?" I know I would. I turn around. Yeah, look at this. Praise God. This is good. I'm walking on that thing that should be killing me. And I'm doing it, Lord. And as long as he was focused on him. But then all of a sudden, he changed his focus. God's bigger than the wind. He's bigger than the storm. He's bigger than all of it. But all of a sudden, he started looking at all the other effects. Jesus didn't change. Jesus didn't go anywhere. Jesus hadn't changed a lick on anything. And guess what? All he did was took his focus off and started looking at the waves. Oh, man, the waves are huge. That would kill me. I shouldn't be out here preaching. I shouldn't be out here serving. I shouldn't be in this. I'm not capable. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. This is trouble. This person, so much, they get them. And next thing you know, you've magnified your problem. And guess what? Your problem's got you sinking. Because you weren't sinking before your problems became bigger than Jesus. Because your problem is magnified. And all it is a focus. Some of y'all could be real spiritual right now and act like you ain't got this going on. But every once in a while, we could be on fire for God. And all of a sudden it just takes one person, one thing, one situation. We just adjust our, and we look at all them circumstances, even though we didn't even know about those circumstances until we shifted our focus. And all of a sudden they're magnified and we're no longer thinking about God, focusing on God, talking about God and singing about God. We're talking about our problems. Hey man, preacher, that's good preaching. Whew. This is funner to preach than you believe. This is good stuff. It's hard sitting on the sideline this morning, man. Woo! Hard. Y'all ready? Y'all want the rest of the message? Because it's the best point. It's the biggest part. Because I preach this, and most people we've walked away from it. Everybody in this room knows this. Peter sank. Right? And Jesus had to pull him out. That ain't bad. Hey, have you ever been there? I walked out there with Jesus, and I sank with Jesus. And him pulling me up is just as good as me sinking. Because I was out there, I was trying to do something. Amen. I was working for the Lord. I was trying to be obedient. I've took my eyes off the Lord and looked at circumstances and situations before and went to sinking. And he picked me up. Hey, I could say, hey, I was out there. Amen. But you want me to show you the most dangerous place in the world? Most dangerous thing in the world? And this is what 2018 looks like for Kevin G. Shelton this year. This is what I'm going to work on more than anything else. And I encourage you to work on it. It's not no fancy one-liner or, you know, getting lean in 18 or getting lean and mean in 18. No, I'm sorry. Let's just look at it. But when he saw the wind, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O of little faith, therefore where did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The most dangerous place was all the disciples and apostles who sat in the boat and never asked Jesus to get out of the boat. Never stepped out of the boat when he said it was okay to. And the test passed, and the trial passed, and the situation passed, and nothing changed for them. And it was the most scariest place for a Christian to be. I want you to hear this, and I'm not going to get excited. This is not going to be a fiery deal right here. I want y'all to hear this, because this is dangerous. Because I find myself here sometimes. Scratch that. Erase that. Don't even act like I said it. I find myself here a lot of times. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've got a calling on my life, and I've used it since He's called me. But sometimes I make decisions and think and do stuff and operate as if I'm in charge of everything and God's not involved. I want to say it again. I act like God's not involved. You're sitting in that boat. Now listen, I've sat in that boat. And I never said, hey God, do you want me out there? Hey God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to take on this responsibility? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? Do you want me to go here? Do you want me to go there? This person's asked me to do something. Do you want me to do it? I'm talking about buying a house. I'm talking about taking a job. I'm talking about how you deal with your children. I'm talking about how you deal with your relatives. I'm talking about just about everything that goes on in this church. Sometimes we're going to have to remember, if God is God, then we've got to let Him be God, and we can't just make decisions and do everything as if He's not God. Whew. I'm just being real with you. If we can't, I know everybody loves goosebumps and chill bumps and likes to run and shout, but let me tell you something. Sometimes we make decisions and then we have to go back and find out if God was okay with it. And I don't want to live like that. I want God to be on the front end of everything I do. Amen? Front end of everything I do. And I am not talking about a bunch of super spiritual stuff. I'm talking just about just the little things of life. Amen? I've caught myself and I've heard myself and I've thought, this will be a good idea. We can do this. We can go down here and do that. And you know what? Get down there and do that. Things have worked out. But then I realized, wait a minute, I didn't even consulted God in the matter. Wouldn't it be okay if I consulted God in the matter? And maybe, I'm just being silly with you, but what if God never intended you to spend that $20, $40, or $60 over here, but save it and then help somebody over here with it? It's as simple as that. Or it could be more broad and more complicated. Are you getting what I'm putting down now? Because I want to tell you this. If we do that in the little things, the Bible says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little decisions and the little things and the little relationships and the little places we get into that eat away and eat away and eat away. Then when we get to the big stuff, why would we consult God then? We don't consult Him in any other areas. I don't want to get there either. I'm just being real with y'all because it's New Year's. And I'd rather y'all eat some real good, real message and sit in here and have y'all flattered. Oh man, you're preaching so good. I want y'all to know that sometimes, even as Christians, we can act like we're in charge when we're not in charge. God's in charge. And wouldn't it be good to hear from God? Then a lot of stuff pass over. A lot of things get by. And we're still sitting in something that we're comfortable and we're fine. And this is easy. And we didn't sink and we didn't get in. But you didn't walk on the water. And you didn't feel like what God's hand felt like to raise Him up. Amen? Sometimes, and you say, well, what if I don't want to get out of the boat? Scariest place in the world. Because wouldn't you want to be where God wanted you to be? In everything. Not just some things. Everything. Where you spend your money. What you watch. What you listen to. Where you go. What you're doing in the church. What you're not doing in the church. Man? You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? That's a hard place. I hope this is penetrating past just that surface. I hope it gets down in your head and all your heart, and you say, you know what? I'm going to change. I don't care if you get lean. I don't care if you get muscular. I don't care if you work out. I don't care if you eat better. All that's good. But if you get focused and let God get in every area, every need of your life, everything will get better. Everything will get better. Amen? Because if God gets in every crevice of your life, guess what? He'll tell you what to eat. He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you what to do. Amen? Man, we was having such a good time when I was preaching those other 2 points. Boy, I could have left here and y'all would have been like, man, I like him. But right now, y'all are sitting there going, I'm contemplating whether I like him or not. Because sometimes it's just hard. And we got all kinds of spectrum in here. And that's one of the greatest things about our church. We can focus on the negative, but we got a spectrum of people here, young to old. And every one of us from that young to old has an excuse of why we don't want to get out of that boat. And when I say boat, what I'm talking about is there's places where God shows up in your life and you can choose to do what you're going to do, or you can choose to do what He wants you to do. But if you let that time pass, you'll go through the rest of your days wishing that you would have got out or done what He wanted you to do. I want y'all to hear this. And I'm not chastising you. I don't care. I'm just telling you, when you get the opportunity to serve God, when we show up in heaven, we stand before the judge seat, He says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. If you're born again, that's what He's going to say. The only thing you're going to regret are the times you didn't do what God totally wanted you to do. It's not got nothing to do whether if I think you should do something or not do something. That really doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is letting you know that the only thing you're going to regret in this life is not letting God yield you and use you. Because, I mean, when those opportunities pass by, people ask me all the time, what's your biggest regret in your life? My biggest regret, number one biggest regret in my life, is not letting God have me when I first knew He wanted to use me. That was 8. I got saved when I was 30. That's my biggest regret. But I can't live and you can't live in the rearview mirror. So what I live in now is He's going to get the best from 30 till the day I draw my last breath that He can get. Be it Sunday night, Wednesday night, or Sunday morning, or anywhere in between. Where I go and what I do, we pour it out. We're going to pour out the best message I got for that day. Hey man, I'm going to pour out the best gospel I got for that day. We're wasting away my life for Christ. That's what you want to do. You want to listen. But what I'm focused on right now in 2018 for Kevin Shelton is, God, get in every area. The little things. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song.